Nothing is more expensive than bad information. Know the source. OneRadioNetwork.com.
I like that one too. Is nothing is more expensive than bad information. That's kind of a fun one, isn't it? I mean, that kind of says it all, doesn't it? And it is. You know, bad information can be very expensive. And we all spent a lot of our time over the last 20, 30, 40 years, however, looking at things and going down rabbit holes, but spending money we didn't need to spend. But, you know, that's fine, because as we used to say in the hippie days, it's all good. It's kind of an overused phrase, but what it essentially means, in my opinion, is it's all God, and God knows exactly what she's doing, and everything is in its rightful place at its rightful time. So every time you and I went down a rabbit hole 20 years ago, we learned something. But there were rabbits down there. Some of them were white, and, you know, follow the yellow brick road and the rest of it. I don't know what I'm talking about, but don't mind me. Good morning. It is September 8, 2020. I just vagabond along here. My name is Patrick Timpone, and this is OneRadioNetwork.com. OneRadioNetwork.com. We're going to have a good time this morning. Later on, George Wiseman's going to be here. This was the last-minute thing. Folks have, you know, all kinds of questions about Brown's gas and hydrogen and some of the studies and how oxidation and all this stuff. So I said, George, just come on. We're going to have Marley on after Marley, and then come on and talk a little bit. So George is going to be here later. Tomorrow, Fred Dashefsky and the Real World of Money. And then also Dr. William Wong tomorrow. And we're going to do a thing that's not going to go into fear porn, but it's going to be a prepare for the worst, hope for the best kind of scenario. And you can use your imagination of what we're going to be talking about when it comes to this fall on planet Earth and in these great United States, the republic that it is. Okay, so now if you'd like to join the show this morning, we have a lot to talk about with a friend now who has been helping me with conversations off the air. And we've been doing some fun testing that we're going to talk about and dig into in a more deeper level. I can get it out to this whole copper, magnesium, iron thing that Marley Robbins talks about on his Root Cause Protocol. I like that name, the Root Cause Protocol, which I think is rcp123.com. But he is known as the magnesium man, and he knows a lot about magnesium. Probably one of the foremost experts on magnesium. And he's got a magnesium advocacy group, gotmag.org. I love that one. And got all kinds of hundreds of thousands of members on that. And mainstream medical industry was his background. And so he's gone through a whole lot of stuff in his life. And he's brought it to this point where he does different testing with people and talks about these minerals and all this fun stuff. So we're going to have fun. Let's get to it and talk to Marley Robbins. Hello, Marley.
Patrick, good to see you.
It's nice.
Good to be here.
Nice to see you. Nice to see you. Where are you located, Marley?
In Chapel Hill, North Carolina.
Uh-huh. Chapel Hill.
We're having a beautiful day. Beautiful day today.
Uh-huh. Marley, last time we were here, so I'm getting some feedback from... I can hear myself talk a few seconds after I talk.
Let me try.
Why don't you put your earphones?
Let's see if this... Yeah.
Hello? Now we can't hear you. So, keep your mic on. Can you keep your mic on and just use your earphones to hear me? Okay. This was all working earlier. I didn't hear the feedback. No, we can't hear you. So you're going to have to get off those earphones. I don't understand why when you take the earphones off the... Okay. Hello, testing. Hello, testing 1, 2, 3. Okay. Can you still hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. I think you just turned down me a little bit, so I didn't feed back. Still doing a little bit, but can you turn that down a little bit? Turn my voice down a little bit? See how you hear me a little bit after I talk?
Yep.
Yep. Okay. Can you still hear me?
How's that? Yep, I can hear you.
Okay. Okay. Now, that's better. How you doing, Marley?
Okay.
Okay.
Much better now.
Yeah, much better now. Yeah. Okay, so the last time we talked, it was about iron, magnesium, and copper, right? Give folks just a short story of why you're so interested in copper. And I believe you've said that when the copper gets low in the body, it has all kinds of different possible effects on us, correct? What kind of things, in your experience, and you've been at this, when our copper gets low because of higher iron, what can that cause in people's health, possibly, potentially?
That's a very important question. So the research has demonstrated for 90 years that an animal that doesn't have enough copper in its diet will accumulate iron in its body and in its tissues. And the most accepted explanation for aging is called the free radical theory of aging. It was originally conceived of by, he was an electrical engineer who became a doctor. His name was Denham Harmon. And in 1956, he put the conventional medical community on its ear when he revealed this relationship of oxidative stress, which is a fancy term for rust. And we know what a rusty nail looks like, and a rusty pipe, and a rusty car. We've never known that rusting, that exact same rusting process takes place inside our body. And as we age, the iron accumulates even faster. So the most accepted shorthand for getting a sense of how much iron you have in your body, and this is according to world-renowned iron biologists like Douglas Kell and Robert Crichton, Gutteridge and Halliwell, these are preeminent iron scientists, is that we accumulate 1 milligram of iron every day we're on planet Earth. And so you can take your age and multiply it by 365, and that five-digit number that you're going to end up with is how many milligrams of iron are in your body. And the number should be 4,000 for women and 5,000 for men. And anyone who's over the age of 50 is going to have more than 20,000 milligrams of iron. And that contributes and accelerates the aging process and the disease process. And the part that had eluded me for many years is I, for anyone who's followed me for any length of time, in fact, for anyone who heard our very first conversation, Patrick, some 8 or 9 years ago, knew me as Magnesium Man, and I was beating my chest about magnesium deficiency. And at that time, I didn't have the understanding that I have now, that copper-iron dynamic that creates oxidative stress is, in fact, what causes the magnesium loss that occurs as we age. So the acceleration of iron building in our body causes the acceleration of magnesium loss from our body. And when magnesium goes down, then calcium rises. And it's a known fact that comparing a 30-year-old to a 90-year-old, the 90-year-old has 30 times more calcium in their tissue than the 30-year-old. That's how dramatic the aging process can be. That's how important managing the copper-iron dynamic can be to then manage the magnesium-calcium dynamic.
Okay, so
again,
where does
all these minerals?
Yeah, where does all this this iron come from? You had said that they start putting iron in the food, what, years ago, and pasta and iron-enriched farina, and I guess they put it in the cream of wheat years ago, and all kinds of stuff. But right. It must come from some other place as well.
Well, it's certainly been in the food system since 1941. In the UK, the US, and Canada. It increased here in the States by 50% in 1969. And now the iron fortification, you'll see it as iron-enriched wheat flour. That's how it'll be expressed on the label. It's pervasive in food processing. It's in supplements. All supplements have iron fortification, not necessarily in forms of iron that the body likes, but it's there. There's 9 different forms of iron added to the food system. And what's notable, according to the research of Jim Moon, who wrote a very important book called Iron, the Most Toxic Metal, all 9 of those forms of iron are carcinogenic. This is a known fact in the scientific community.
Wow.
And then every medication that's manufactured pharma has a coloring agent called ferrous oxide that's added to the drugs. Well, that's just adding iron to the medications. So it's mind-boggling to think about. And now in the modern era of commercial farming, they've hybridized food so that it has a bias to iron uptake, and the plants are not getting access to the copper that they
wow.
need in order to keep it in balance.
Wow.
So it's on many different levels. There's been an 81% loss of copper in the soil from 1930s to the year 2000, but there's been an uptick in iron. And so it's just these are facts and developments that's not commonly known. I didn't know any of this until the last probably 7 years. And it's amazing how it all begins to converge on this growing level of sickness that exists in the American society.
So you're
certainly around the world as
so
well.
So you're attributing a lot of these numbers to you're arguing that that's why a lot of folks are sick. Because of this, you think it's a key factor.
Patrick. I'm not arguing. I'm sharing the.
No. I use the term. Not arguing, but that's what we say. Kind of arguing. You're making the position. You're conjecturing.
Well, I just want to clarify. This is not a personal opinion.
No, I understand.
This is a compendium of research that clearly states that iron is killing us.
Okay, so where is this iron? And do we know, I mean, is there real science morally to show us in the body where it is? Is the science say, do the research says it's everywhere, like in the cells and the mitochondria, everywhere? Or you say tissues? I mean, do we know for sure?
The research is overwhelmingly clear that iron is the driving force in heart disease. Iron is the driving force in kidney disease.
Huh.
Iron is the driving force in cancer. Iron is the driving force in neurodegeneration. Iron is the driving force in any metabolic imbalance in the body. It's just you got to know where to look, and you got to know which authors are really telling you the truth. It's a magical game of hide and go seek.
So So there's actually research that you've seen that shows that iron, how is iron, Marley, played in with heart disease? Are you talking about atherosclerosis or myocardial infarction?
All of it. So the leading cause of death since 1911 has been cardiovascular disease, and especially what's called atherosclerosis. And there are dozens of authors, published hundreds of studies, that have proven that iron is the initiating event to cause what's called lipid peroxidation, which is what creates atherosclerosis.
Lipid.
So when lipid peroxidation is a funky way of saying rusting of the fats.
Oh, and so the fats...
There's a fat membrane.
The fats oxidize in some way, like the cholesterol oxidizes and clogs things up?
Absolutely.
I thought the cholesterol... We've been told over the years, Marley, the cholesterol is there to kind of patch up some of the irritation and inflammation, you know, that can be caused by too much insulin, infections in the arteries, and then the calcium comes in too. That's part of that process?
Well, the when you really break it down, what triggers the infection and what triggers the inflammation is iron. Again, it's not my theory. This is the research. Clearly, the research demonstrates it. Then what happens is cells, repair cells called macrophages, come. They're the Pac-Man in the body that like to gobble up bad things. Well, they come to repair the tissue, and they start to gobble up the cholesterol that's there. And they can't recycle it properly because there's too much iron in their system. And they become what's called a foam cell. And then the iron triggers calcification. Calcium doesn't come from Mars. It comes from an iron-induced process. So the calcification builds. And then that becomes what we know as plaque.
Hmm.
And then that plaque builds and builds. And if there's a unstable plaque... Again, research proves it very clearly that it's an iron-triggered event to have unstable plaque. Again, this is all deeply cataloged in the research. The challenge is it's not taught in doctor school.
Sure.
Doctors are not taught about iron biology. They're not taught about mineral metabolism. And so they believe in disease, and so they train us to believe in disease.
Sure.
And the truth of the matter is there is no disease. The Merck manual is science fiction because there is no disease, but there is stress-induced mineral dysregulation which causes metabolic dysfunction, which is a fancy way of saying the mitochondria are deranged.
I have a lot of deranged mitochondria in my body, I mean, because I'm crazy, but other than that, I didn't...
Don't we all, right?
That's right. We all.
Especially at our.
We're all crazy.
We're all in the same boat.
Crazy as looms. Marley Robbins is with us. What do you think? We have a lot to talk about this morning. Patrick Timpone, OneRadioNetwork.com. If you'd like to be on the show, you can do the email thing, patrick@OneRadioNetwork.com or 888-663-6386. We're going to do a break here in a second, and then we're going to get into the process that I went through with you with we did hair and blood. And we'll look at some of the things that you found and show people how you work with this and give some of the ideas how to balance things out. But if I understand, Marley, then it really goes back to the body not having enough copper, and that's triggered by too much iron. I mean, is that really the juggernaut here in your work and with the things we'll see on my test?
Yeah, again, I think the...
I know it's simplistic.
The key... Right. The key to copper is, again, we've been trained like circus bears to believe that we're anemic and that we're copper toxic. And that's not the truth. The truth is we have been denied copper in our food because the soil is missing copper. And we could have two radio shows just on that alone. But the point is there's a copper is missing from our food, and that allows iron to become much more prevalent in the tissue. And the research of Jamie Collins at the University of Florida in Gainesville very clearly shows, this is research from 2017, 18, 19, very clearly shows that an excess of iron affects copper metabolism. Huh. Well, why am I so goofy about copper metabolism?
Why are you so goofy about that?
Because copper is the only element on planet Earth that can harness oxygen. And 21% of our air has oxygen in it. And most people don't realize it's the second most reactive element after fluoride on this planet. So if copper's not there to work with the oxygen, then the oxygen becomes called oxidants. They're very reactive, and they are what contribute and interact with iron to create the oxidative stress that ages us and kills us.
So that's a classic idea of oxidation. We had Dr. Levy, you know, Dr. Tom Levy on a couple times, and
sure,
he made a very clear statement. I might even have the tape here. I could play it for you, that he says oxidation, something like oxidation. I'll play the commercial. Actually, we'll play it here in just a few minutes, and then you'll hear it, and then we can talk about it, because that was pretty interesting. And he's a well-researched guy, but we'll do that. Okay, let's do a little break here. Morley, Bo Farley, Banana Man, Fo Farley, Fee Fi Mo. Just kidding, I get carried away here more. You stay right there, and we're gonna chat it up a little bit, and we're gonna show you some of the things that. Some of the blood tests and stuff like that. Let's do this one first, and then I'm gonna find the Levy one, and then we'll play that one here. One of the fun and easy things we do with this Pearlseum product is brush our teeth with it. But as we look deeper into this product, taking it internally is really kind of magical.
Calcium metabolism basically affects the whole metabolism and also your whole energetic systems. Literally, the calcium is the powerhouse for our energy, and it also carries the energy everywhere. So whatever we do, you know, either thinking or doing any work, it's all, you know, calcium is a carrier to put, you know, get the energy over there.
And recently, we had a Professor Paul on our show on the electromagnetic fields, and he explained very clearly how these things were interfering with the proper calcium getting into the cells.
That's fascinating. Yeah. I completely agree with his research, because everything is actually a field, you know, vibrational field. Even our body is a field. And also pearl can really, you know, really alter the whole vibrational field, because it has this crystalline structure. And this crystalline structure carries the most positive energy and also information and matter. And so when it gets into the body, it has changed a completely vibrational field. So it can heal us at a very deep level.
Well, Dr. Ruland Hsu, we love the sound of that. Heal us at a deep level. Why not give it a try? Click on the front page of OneRadioNetwork.com. You'll see the ad, Green Container Pearlseum, OneRadioNetwork.com. Okay, and here's a little clip that we use to promote our hydrogen machine, and George will be on a little bit later. And I think he gives the line that I wanted you all to hear and Morley to hear. Previously, with the highly credentialed Dr. Thomas Levy, he argues because the literature shows that oxidation is the cause of disease.
But the whole point is the location, the concentration, the duration, the distribution of oxidized biomolecules determines 100% of all diseases. And so that's why I say oxidative stress doesn't cause disease. Oxidation is disease.
Is disease.
If there's no oxidized biomolecules, you don't have a toxin. The toxic effect is oxidation of biomolecules. That's the entirety of it.
And by the grace of God, several months ago, George Wiseman said this about hydrogen.
Hydrogen is the world's best antioxidant by a long shot.
Hmm.
first of all, is 700 times smaller than something like CoQ10, 400 times smaller than vitamin C, things like that. So it can literally go, the hydrogen molecule can literally go through everything in your body and go right into the very DNA and repair it.
So now it makes sense why George was able to say this back in August 2019 with such conviction.
The body accepts that gas and uses it to heal everything. It's like the fountain of youth. It's astonishing the amount of ailments. In fact, in scientific studies, and they have over 1,000 scientific studies now, they are showing that it either helps the body heal directly or indirectly from virtually every ailment that ails any water-based life form.
Okay, I'm sold. And I was able to get one a couple of months ago, thanks to your support. It's called the AquaCure Hydrogen Machine. Breathe the gas and bubble the water. There's a promo code ONERADIO for 10% discount. I think a great investment for you, knowing what we know now. On OneRadioNetwork.com. So I've had about that promotion tape is a little bit elderly, as we say, but I've had my machine now. I've been breathing the gas and drinking the water for, I guess, about a year or so. And as you can see, my hair is actually getting darker. I don't know what that's about. But once Marley helps me get my copper up, it's going to even get even more dark. Is that right, Marley? Even copper and gray hairs kind of have a synergistic thing, don't they? Copper.
Yes, they do. I think the I really appreciate and glad you were able to find those quotations because they're very helpful. And I agree with what Tom Levy is saying, is that oxidative stress is disease. It doesn't lead to disease.
It is disease.
What most people don't realize is that the second stage of oxidative stress is called inflammation. And the third stage of oxidative stress is called cancer. So it's a progressive condition. And I think Tom is very correct in his statement. The part that I don't know about the hydrogen gas, you know, the H2, I don't know how it works in a body with low bioavailable copper. And I'm agnostic about that.
Yeah, well.
I know how important I know how important copper is to O2. I'm learning how important it is to N2 nitrogen. I'm also aware of its importance in gas. And hydrogen gas that's on my radar to really study. Clearly there is a major impact with symptom relief. I just don't know whether there are second and third order implications. I just don't know. And so,
well, you could talk. If you're interested,
technology is amazing.
If you're interested, you can talk to George about that, and he's been studying for a long time and see how it works. So
that'd be great.
So let's see. So let's look. I don't know if you're going to be able to read any of these, but these are a few of the charts. What would be the first one to bring up, just to show people? So what we did was, so you know. And what would do if you would want to work with Marley on this root cause protocol is we did what we call a full Monty, right, Marley? That full Monty, that's a blood test. It was a couple $100. You can just sign up online and you go in. And what was that measuring? And do we have a slide of that one? I don't know. It doesn't matter. But tell what the full Monty measures.
What the full Monty iron panel does is people have been trained to think that their ferritin status is indicative of their iron status, and that's not true. What the full Monty has is 12 different variables, and I could easily make it 50, but we're trying to make this affordable. But 12 different variables that look at other minerals that are critically important for iron metabolism, like copper status, magnesium status, zinc status, what's going on with vitamin A and vitamin D, and we'll find out in Patrick's situation, these are way out of balance with each other, and that leads to some of the other factors that we'll talk about. But these variables begin to paint a much more holistic, comprehensive picture of what's going on in the body that affect overall what I call copper iron metabolism. These two work with each other all day long because they're interacting with the oxygen molecule. And the source of what Tom Levy is talking about with oxidative stress is if there is an inadequacy of what I call bioavailable copper, then the antioxidant enzymes, these are 100 times more powerful. Some authors say it can be as much as 1,000 times more powerful than the antioxidant vitamins that we're so conditioned to think about. Vitamin C and vitamin A and vitamin E. These are very important vitamins, but they are completely overshadowed by the copper-dependent antioxidant enzymes. And when they're not working right, when those enzymes are not working right, oxidative stress is going to rise in the body. And therefore, the disease process, as Tom Levy is talking about, is going to increase in the body. That's an important series of dots for people to connect. And what?
So what did my I don't know why I can't find it here. I had it this one. What did my Full Monty thing show you? Do you have that there in front of you?
I do. And what I'd like to do before we get into the actual numbers,
okay,
is the model is based on stress causing mineral dysregulation. So I think it's important for the listeners to have just a thumbnail sketch of some of the stress that you've experienced in the last, you know, 5 to 7 years, so they have an appropriate context to look at the charts that we're going to look at, because it's, again, there is no disease. It doesn't exist. But what does exist is the daily grind of life. And, you know, people have emotional events. They have jobs that they have car accidents. They have food that they shouldn't be eating that cause reactions in the body. They have allergic reactions to what's in the air. They have allergic reactions to many different things. And so people need to understand that there are 1,000 different types of stress, but there's only one way the body responds to stress. And this was actually developed by a Viennese physician in 1899, and it still stands true, that under any form of stress, the body loses magnesium first and foremost.
Mm-hmm. It just leaves.
And once magnesium is, it just leaves. Just boom, just goes, along with the B vitamins, because they are expended in response to stress. Doesn't matter what the form of stress is.
Doesn't matter.
Someone yelling at you. It could be a car accident. It could be whatever. But the magnesium leaves, and then that leads to what's called electrolyte derangement. Calcium, sodium, potassium get confused. When the electrolytes get confused and they're missing, then you have an energy crisis. When there's an energy crisis in the cells, you have cell death. It's very well established in the research. And when you have cell death, that is met with what's called inflammation, or as some of my clients call it, hey doc, I got some of that information. But inflammation is a natural bodily process to churn up and eat up the dead tissue, and then it's supposed to come in and replace it with cement called calcium. That's the patch.
That's the whole thing when people do like a CT scan, Morley, like on their chest or something, and they've got these calcium stuff all in their arteries. That's the process what happened, huh?
Exactly. What's not showing up on the CT scan is it's not revealing the iron that's causing that calcification.
Sure.
To do that, you'd have to do what's called a Tesla 2 MRI, and then boom, what will show up on the screen is all the iron that's causing all the calcium that's appearing on the CT scan.
So if you did a Tesla 2, kind of super-duper Tesla 2 thing, it would actually, Marley Robbins, it would show the iron in the body, and where would it be? All over?
Yes, yeah. The leading iron scientists all use Tesla 2 MRIs, not 1, not Tesla 3, not Tesla 4, Tesla 2, to measure iron in the brain, in the eyes, in the heart, in the pancreas, in the kidneys, in the stomach, in the gut. And it shows up.
They can see it. Clearly. They can see it. Why are they looking for it? I mean, they don't know this stuff that you know. What are they looking for, Morley?
Actually, they do.
Oh, they do know.
What it does.
Oh, they do know.
Oh, yes, they do. Oh. But these are the scientists studying the iron. That knowledge is not taught in doctor's school.
Of course.
If it were taught in doctor's school, you'd kill the business model of medicine.
Yeah, well, that's why they don't teach it. Come on.
That's right. But it's important for your listeners to understand there's an entirely different game that's being played in the scientific domain. They know exactly what the problem is. We live on a planet that has 36% iron. Number one element on the planet Earth is iron, and we're supposed to believe that we're all anemic. It's like, wait a minute, that doesn't make sense. That would mean that the highest evolved species on the planet has lost the ability to metabolize the number one element on the planet.
What do you mean when you say number one element? You're talking about in the ground?
I'm talking about the planet itself, the number one element on planet Earth. 36% of the Earth's composition is iron. There's a big molten mass in the center.
Oh, you mean physical.
Absolutely.
Okay.
This is an iron planet. Well, the origin of planet Earth was an iron sea, and there was no oxygen in the air. And that was like that for 2 billion years.
There was no oxygen.
So people don't make, there was no oxygen. Oxygen did not appear until 2.5 billion years ago. And most people don't know that. I didn't know that. This is all new information.
Where'd it come from?
But the process of the process of photosynthesis. And the sunlight that had always been beaming on planet Earth, for some reason, cyanobacteria, that means that they have copper in them, but the cyanobacteria started to engage in photosynthesis, and in that process, released oxygen into the air. And it's called the Great Oxygen Event. It's very well studied. It's very well chronicled in the scientific literature, because that's when planet Earth changed. And as soon as oxygen came on the scene, it wiped out all of the life that was there, 99% of it, because it was all anaerobic. And when oxygen came on, that's what allowed the evolution of the species so that Patrick and I could have this conversation.
See, we liked it. We were there. So I see. So with the oxygen thing, that's the whole we're more living, more conscious things.
Absolutely.
Came out,
We were able to make more. We were able to make more energy. We were able to optimize the energy production on the planet because of the existence of oxygen. And what was the most important part of that is that copper, and copper alone, was able to harness the oxygen molecule and put it to our use. It's from a spiritual standpoint, Patrick, it's absolutely amazing. It, in my humble opinion, copper is the God particle. It is absolutely, our connection to source is through copper.
Really? I kind of think it's hydrogen, but that's just me. But I want to look at copper. You know, I've got that great book called Herbs and Magic Healers. There's something in there about copper,
yes,
too. You know, and I meant to look at it this morning before the show, but Paul Twitchell wrote about copper. And do you recall? Yeah, it's very interesting.
No, I'm very familiar with it.
Yeah.
Now, again, the hydrogen, I think hydrogen, there's no
But it's a different thing.
Without hydrogen, right?
Copper is more dense. Right. Copper is more physical. Hydrogen would be more etheric and more, right? More gaseous.
Copper is electric.
Electric.
Copper brings things to life.
Ah.
Brings good things.
I thought
to
it
life.
Was GE brought things to life. Just kidding.
Well, I think copper was here before GE. Right?
Yeah, that's right. Well, but copper filaments.
Long before GE, there was copper bringing good things to life.
So copper is the thing that that kind of reacts with spirit or something to do the chi, the mojo, the whole thing?
Again, well, we understand that light and sound are very important.
Right.
Which imply frequency. Mm-hmm. Which imply frequency. What does frequency imply? Energy production. You can't have frequency without energy. And so what's the source of energy on the planet? It's all the copper enzymes that make energy possible by working with oxygen.
So when we look at, so it's really interesting for me, and it might be for other people too if they've got their hair test. I sent you hair test, Moni. I think it went back to 2003, right? It was my first one I sent you. So 20 years ago, I had copper, and as they say in the, you know, in the trade, off the charts, and it was literally, right? And literally, I wish we had each one to show you, but literally all the way to the right. I mean, you look at the copper. Now, to the untrained eye, you would think, wow, I have lots of copper. I've got too much copper. But you and other people have taught us over the years, no, that's not true. That means that, Patrick, some reason you're not holding on to your copper, right, which you need.
Right.
And that's spitting it out. And it's coming out in the hair.
Exactly.
Right. That's
exactly
pretty much how it works?
Right. Copper is meant to be harnessed by enzymes.
Enzymes.
And one of the most important, and what are enzymes? They're just little engines. That's what enzymes are. They're engines inside the body. Mm-hmm. And the most important enzyme is called ceruloplasmin.
Cerulo.
And cerulo is blue plasma. It's found in our blood. It's a blue protein that plays very important roles in our blood. But when that ceruloplasmin gets affected by stress, the copper can leak out. Now, there are certain things that are very toxic to ceruloplasmin, like many of the medications that were given. I didn't know that. You know, ascorbic acid, which is a synthetic form of vitamin C, very toxic to ceruloplasmin.
Wow.
Citric acid. There are many different agents that are very hard on that protein. One that I was learning about this morning prior to our show is arsenic, which also shows high on your hair.
Yeah, my hair is like crazy hair. We'll talk about that. So there's different things that we're doing too that's messing with the ceruloplasma that's causing the copper not to stay in the body.
Exactly. So the copper needs to be in enzymes in order to do the work that those enzymes are supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
And the body has a regular process of using those copper enzymes and then discharging the copper on a daily basis. It's been going back to the beginning of time. The copper gets used and then it gets released. But we're supposed to then replace it on a daily basis in our diet. It's increasingly difficult to do that because it's not in the food system.
Even
soil,
even so if we're eating just totally organic foods, it's still not there, in your opinion? Or
well, I think part of the challenge is that the definite, what does organic really mean? I mean, I think we have a kind of a layman's fumbling understanding of what it means. But if we were to go back 100 years ago, we know that the animals, especially the horse manure, was being used as a source of an organic fertilizer. And what were the horses eating? They were eating copper-rich foods back then. They don't have access to those foods now.
Which are?
Oats.
Copper-rich foods are what?
Well, oats are copper-rich. Alfalfa was copper-rich. Other peppers are copper-rich. But they are increasingly GMO. So what does GMO mean? They've driven the copper out of the plant. And it's just it's a tragedy that people don't know this. And so the organic fertilizers, I believe, don't have the level of copper that they need. And that requires the farmer to be more proactive, make sure giving the soil the copper that's needed for the microbes to do their work.
I see.
What are the microbes supposed to do? They're supposed to nitrogenate the soil, and that requires copper. How about that?
And Dr. Seneff has told her that told us that the GMO stuff also messes with the sulfur cycle as well. So these glyphosate things must just be pretty spooky with their interaction with minerals, huh?
Well, they are spooky, but they're very well designed with intention. And the average person on the street is not aware of the fact that the commercial food that they're eating is very hard on their mineral status. And I think Stephanie Seneff is unique in her understanding of this. And I really applaud all that she does to try to educate people about its impact.
Yeah. Marley Robbins is with us. Patrick Timpone, OneRadioNetwork.com. So I just got an email here.
So what's your stuff? So Patrick.
I got an email from Lynn just wants to know, well, why don't we just take a copper supplement?
I mean, wouldn't that be a lot easier?
That's what I would do. I'd just take a copper supplement, you know, and be done with it.
Well, the challenge there, it's a great question, get asked it all the time. The copper comes in two different states. There's a plus one state and a plus two state. And the supplements that we can buy are all in the plus two state, and they don't work inside our body. And we need, there are bacteria that we're supposed to have in our body that turn the plus two state into the plus one state, but those bacteria were wiped out by antibiotics, so that makes it particularly challenging. And so the access to convenient forms of copper solutions through supplements does not exist. Now, there are a number of people out there who claim they've got the best copper supplements. My standard response is, show me how it improves ceruloplasmin, and then I will promote it. I'm happy to promote a product that will increase people's bioavailable copper, and I'm waiting on different products to be able to prove that they can do it. So it's a very frustrating experience for both sides of this microphone.
But if you get some real authentic living probies, that can reestablish after antibiotics, right? Probiotics?
Well, you have to know the right kinds, and they would not be found in your standard probiotics. I can assure you of that.
No, we have a line that was produced by Wayne Blakely that studied these guys for about 20 years called Living Streams, and he's got some pretty interesting probiotics in there that people like. So
that's great.
Have you ever looked at those? Yeah.
No, yeah. I've not. But what we would be looking for are copper reductase bacteria.
Yeah, I don't know about that one. That's way beyond my pay grade. Yeah. So
beyond my pay grade too.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So where do we go from here during this little thing? Well, I think we let me do.
I think it'd be good for people to hear. Yep. But I think it'd be good for people just to hear the headlines of your stress, just so we have that as a context.
What do you mean? Well, I don't know what I don't understand the question.
Well, what are some stressful events that you've experienced that will affect the mineral status? That's the important backdrop.
Right. Well, I had an IRS thing that people know about. We've talked about on this show. I was a tax resister beginning, I guess, in 2000. Got into a jam with the IRS back in 2013. It was pretty stressful. They came to the house and I had guns and downloaded my computer, and it was pretty weird. And I was able to stay out of harm's way with a great attorney that cost a lot of money. And so that was pretty, you know, pretty eventful. And I could tell at that point 7 years ago that it had a great impact on my stomach. Huge, right?
Yeah.
That is just now, the last 6 months, finally working through. And the interesting thing about it is, because of my spiritual path, I'm blessed to understand karma, right? And understand that I'm soul, and understand fear and how that works and not buy into it. So I've been real clear on it and okay with it, and don't have any angst about these people. I have it for years. no hidden agendas, no I don't like you or criticize them. I know I created it. So I spiritually, I've been really clear on it for a long time. But it was curious how it took quite a while for the whole stomach thing to clear, even though I was clear spiritually. But evidently I wasn't totally, because it wouldn't have been there.
Right.
Right. It would. Exactly. It still wouldn't have been there, right? Because once you're clear totally spiritually, it doesn't exist any longer, because it's all in real time, right? You understand that?
Exactly.
It's all in real time.
That's right.
There is no lag. I used to believe there would be a lag of some kind, but there is no lag because there's no time. So, there's no lag. So that was it. That was it. But the copper thing for me, like I say, I don't know. It hasn't been there for 20 years, way before. But so it must have been, I had a business, I was on the radio, it just must have been Morley, nothing special, just planet
just
Earth.
Daily stress.
Yeah, just planet Earth, right.
Exactly.
A lot of stuff. I had my own business, and I was doing talk shows on the radio, and, had girlfriends, and, just life. I never felt like I was stressed out, but I'm sure I was.
Well, you just being on the planet is stress.
Yeah, right.
It doesn't matter how enlightened our spiritual path is.
We're here,
there's
man.
There's a physical side to this. There's a physical side to this life that we can't deny. Now, the other thing, when you and I had a chance to chat about this about a week ago, I remember that you have a practice of doing saunas, if I recall.
I'm sorry.
And you've been doing saunas.
I have for a long time.
If I recall. And I think it has been for a long time. And I'm wondering, I can't recall now, was it near infrared or far infrared?
Far infrared.
Both?
Far infrared.
Far infrared. Okay. So for the listeners, the one thing that would be more confusing than this conversation would be if Patrick and I were suddenly to decide to talk about light and try to explain the difference between near infrared and far infrared light. I think the physics of light is right up there with the most confusing subjects on this third rock from the sun. But the near infrared light is completely different than the far infrared light.
Yes.
Because there are receptors in our body and in our mitochondria for near infrared light. There's no receptors for far infrared light. And the far infrared only penetrates a couple inches, but the near infrared is 2 to 3 times deeper. But the other significant difference is that there's 10 times more energy in the near infrared light opposed to the far infrared light. And
doing far infrared? I mean, you're just comparing. We understand that.
I think the far infrared is a source of stress.
I'll have to disagree.
No, don't.
No, I understand, wait, hold on a second.
I know its properties. I know its properties. I think in the situation, a mixture of light might have been more.
Okay, so if you had to do it back over again. It's hard to imagine a source of stress. And the only reason I say that, Marley, is because I can feel deep down, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, the effect of the far infrared sauna, and it's all good.
Okay.
So for somebody, and I respect you, but for somebody to say that's a source of stress, it's not been my experience for 10 years. Just not my experience.
Okay. Well, I'm trying to understand what has been the environmental source of your copper coming out of
your cerebral. Yeah, that's what we're trying to figure out, right? Yeah.
And that is not natural. And it's normal, but it's been a pattern in your past.
Long time
ago.
That
I think is extraordinary. So that would tell me that either there's something in the environment external to your body or there's something internal to your body that's allowing that to happen.
Hmm.
And again, I'm able to have a conversation with a very spiritually aware enlightened person who understands what true health is all about, true health and well-being is all about. So you've incorporated practices in your lifestyle that the average person would never have done. But even with all of that wisdom, your body has responded with copper coming out of this protein.
Yeah, I know.
It's like, and that doesn't make sense to me.
Doesn't make sense.
That's the unique. So I'm trying to find what are some possible variables. And then one that surfaced as I was studying the hair test again this weekend was you have an elevation of arsenic.
Yeah, and that's been pretty consistent for many years, too. Did you see my blood test, my hair analysis? So what's that about? The only thing I've been able to find is that there's a lot of arsenic in brown rice, and I've eaten my share of organic brown rice from Italy, pasta, over the last 10 years.
Okay.
Maybe much more now than much more. So could that be a source of all that arsenic?
That's a source. The other likely source is chicken. I don't know whether you eat chicken.
Very rarely.
On a routine
basis. Very rarely.
Okay, that's I suspect
hardly ever
that
really,
much, but
yeah.
I thought the rice would certainly be a possibility.
Could it be that high though? Even if you had organic brown rice, a couple times a week, pasta, could that make that arsenic thing, in your experience, that high?
You know, well,
how would you know?
That's right. And one of the favorite sayings of my wife, who's a 40-year veteran of being a chiropractor. She says, Morley, anything can cause it. And when she first said that, I was really put out by that.
Right.
But then over
Come
the
on.
Years now, I've come to accept that that's true. But I think the arsenic, I would assume it's a dietary source would be the most likely. The other question I had was, again, you use rainwater to bring water into your home. I don't know, is there any unusual amount of arsenic
I checked.
In your rainwater?
I checked. No,
okay.
there's
so
not.
It's not there. Okay.
And then we also distill it too. You know, I distill the water.
And you filter. Okay, that's great.
So.
That's beautiful. Okay. So then we're left with arsenic. Yeah, exactly. We're left with arsenic and copper are high. And the article that I sent over to you just before we went on the air.
Yeah.
Shows a very clear relationship between copper and arsenic.
Oh.
And they have a very dynamic relationship in the body, and it could be a contributing factor for why the copper keeps coming unbound. Could be the arsenic. So now we have two suspects now. And again, the whole point of this is for people to understand that we're looking for the sources of stress in Patrick's life and lifestyle, because we're trying to understand what would have caused the imbalance of these minerals. And we're not trying to diagnose anything, and we're not trying to treat anything. We're trying to get to the bottom of what are the subtle sources of stress that might be throwing off the minerals that are now what we're going to see if we have a chance to look at the charts. We can look at the relative relationship of the minerals in the hair test and the relative relationship of the minerals in the blood test.
Well, yeah, to that point, though, what's that weird noise? To that point, you know, I'm on planet Earth. I do what I do, right?
Okay.
I do my show. I do my spiritual practices. I do my life. Work on my screenplay.
Right.
And and I'm not saying I'm really good at not worrying, because I don't. I'm really good at being in the moment, because I that's what I do. And I'm doing great. I'm doing best I can. So to go out and try to, I'm just saying, to go out and try to find a thing or a stress or something, I can't change anybody else. And I know that I'm doing the very best that I can to work with planet Earth. So unless I move to the woods and never go on the internet again, and just, and I can do that. I could do that. And just spiritual exercise and just write spiritual stuff and write the books. You know, that might just, but my job is here in the world.
Right.
That's my job. So I think the stress thing, I think we all understand. I do. But there's nothing I'm going to do about it except keep getting better and better at trusting God, right? Which I do. I'm pretty good at. I'm really pretty good at, I must say. Not because I'm so smart or so spiritual, because I just got tired of getting my fanny kicked for the last 30 years, and you just learn because you get tired of being miserable. You get tired of being, you know, not happy. So you just do it.
But the sensation that you're having in your feet tells us that your body is responding to a lack of bioavailable copper.
Okay.
The elevation of copper in your hair tells us that it's unbound, and therefore it's not able to be productive copper.
Right. Well, that's why you're here, kid. That's why you're here.
The sensation you're having in your feet
to solve this
is called neuropathy. And neuropathy, one of my mentors is still living. His name is Leslie Clavey. He's an MD, PhD. And he once told me years ago, he said, Morley, if any of the people that you're working with have any form of neuropathy,
no matter how small it is, right?
Numbness, no matter how small, but any form of numbing or tingling, that's neuropathy.
Mm-hmm.
He said that's a sign of low bioavailable copper.
Interesting. Huh.
The nerve transmission isn't working
right,
and that means that the copper is not at its optimal level. Again, my objective is not to look for problems. My objective is to look for how do we solve these symptoms, because they're all stress-induced.
I'm totally with you. Let's see if I can show you. Let's see if I can show you. Hold on.
Something keeps tripping the wire.
Let's see if I can show you. Okay. So let me show you why I have numbness. Eh? Live, don't you like? That's it.
Right there.
But that's been about 6, 7, 8 years. High toast. So that's about 6, 7, 8 years right there. Right there. Even that little bit, you could classify. I don't like to put names on things because I think it puts weird stuff in my consciousness. So I don't call it neuropathy. I just call it, I got some numbness here that's going away. So that's the way I deal with it on a mental level.
Right.
Are you with me there? Okay. Exactly. I got some numbness here that's...
Absolutely.
Okay. So that's it. Okay. Hi, Toast. Bye, Toast. Okay.
I can honestly say this is the first time on air with a host who shoots their feet. So
well, you know, you got to, whatever you can do, you know. It's okay, so we got to do a break here, and then we're gonna dig more into this. So you stay right there. You're doing great, Marley. Thanks for putting up with me, because I don't know what I'm
doing.
You know, absolutely, I don't know what I'm doing. Man, this is crazy. Marley Robbins is with us, Patrick Timpone, and it's One Radio Network. Well, let's see. I was telling about these living streams. Let me give you a little. This is from Wayne Blakely, and he talks about the glyphosates. Check it out.
Previously with Wayne Blakely.
Leroy wants to know if there's anything that we can do to protect ourselves from glyphosate.
Yeah, you can take some of our products to help to overcome that. It breaks down the glyphosate in the gut. That's the living streams, Bifido and the Chabide. Helps overcome that.
Bifido and Chabide.
Okay, it's not a poison. It's not a chemical. It's a mixture of minerals together that actually stops the uptake of nutrients, especially minerals from your food.
From the plant. That's why
the plant.
That's why it kills the plant, right?
Does the same thing to us.
Wow.
Exactly the same thing. Stops the uptake, and that's what causes celiac disease. Celiac disease, really, organs start to deteriorate and to die because not getting enough nutrients, starving to death. That's what causes celiac disease. Stops the uptake of minerals and nutrient from the soil that kills the weeds. That's what it's for.
And it's damaging our gut.
Yeah, you can take some of our products to help to overcome that. It breaks down the glyphosate in the gut. That's the Living Streams, Bifido, and the Chabide. Helps overcome that.
The Living Streams, Bifido, and Chabide together for the glyphosate thing. They're both in our store and other Living Streams products. Click and order on OneRadioNetwork.com. Hi there, Wayne Blakely, Living Streams man. Why are there so many Living Streams products in our store?
I make so many because each one of the products is designed for different aspects of healing the body. Every product, sometimes we use combinations, but mostly we use individual ones to help certain aspects of healing certain organs in the body or nutrient that's in a product, plus the probiotics that are in there.
Each product has a different nutrient that works on various organs of the body.
Exactly. Nutrients are specifically designed for, like, you know, the living streams helps the liver, the alfalfa helps the vascular system, and so on and so on.
Okay, over the next few days, we're going to be telling you more and more about each individual product, but check out our store, all the Living Streams products, and you can email me for more information, or you can call Marilyn, 360-912-2981. She has a lot of information as well. Living Streams probiotics in our store. And Wayne, he used a term, and I think it's human kind of DNA stuff. So he figured out how to make these probiotics real living guys in liquid that the body could actually use. He wasn't ever a fan of what's called like a soil-based organism things. He thought those things were not good. But he was able to create over 20 years these probiotics that actually... they work. So you can click on the Living Streams in our store, check it out, see what you think, and you can call Marilyn, as I said, and you have that number there, and see if you might want to try some. Patrick Timpone, OneRadioNetwork.com, OneRadioNetwork.com. As Marty said, there's a lot of difference between infrared light, far infrared, near infrared. We have some of the near infrared lamps, and certainly Adam Bergstrom's talked about it, and Ray Pete and stuff like that, and we use those lights. Far infrared is a different kind of technology. It doesn't go as deep, Lee, but this technology that's out of Taiwan has won several awards for its effectiveness to helping the body to relax and to heal and to sweat. And so you have the far infrared technology as well as the sweating, and there's just no doubt about it. With the work of Rawi in Europe, they've actually measured the sweat before and after far infrared saunas, and they find all kinds of stuff in the sweat, in all kinds of yuck stuff, bad actors, as they say. Well, they've also done studies with the relaxed sauna that we promote, where you can do a urine test and do a little chelation thing and push it out and see how much stuff's coming out. Do the sauna for 20 minutes, 30 minutes, and then do the urine test again. You can actually see more of the toxic chemicals coming out in the urine. So it works on a lot of different levels. Again, now there are people who actually do these near-infrared lamps, and we have some in our store, and you can do your own little sauna in your, they put them in their, you know, you can make your own little sauna, make your own little tent, and it's different. It's just a different technology. It's not better or worse. It can go deeper, but then you also, with the near infrared lamps, to get close enough, you got to keep moving around because they get really hot too. This is something that you can relax. The parasympathetic gets happier, and I've used it to help me to relax and to sleep, and it's been very beneficial for me. If you'd like to get one, you can email me. It's the only way to get it. Patrick@OneRadioNetwork.com. Patrick@OneRadioNetwork.com. And we'll hook you up with this sauna. $1,150. $1,150. The Relax Far Infrared Sauna.
We are listener supported. One Radio Network.
By the way, that is in the lower 48. The $1,150 for those of you in Portlandia, that doesn't include Alaska. or I give Portland such a hard time. I shouldn't do it. I don't want Portland karma. Okay, Morley Robbins is with us, the magnesium man. So let's see, where should we go from here? So we didn't get into it, and we can't show it, but just kind of look at mine. Tell folks what you saw when I did the full Monty as far as my iron levels. Did it show that Patrick, my little body, had too much iron?
There were a couple of things that showed up in the blood test.
In the full Monty.
Monty iron panel. Right. What was particularly impressive was your magnesium level was good. It wasn't perfect, but it was really good for someone who lives a very full life like you do, and I don't often see that, so that was very encouraging. You know, the real standout was that the copper, there's a ratio of copper to ceruloplasmin that I look for.
Mm-hmm.
And ideally, copper should be at 100
mm-hmm.
and ceruloplasmin should be at 30.
Mm-hmm.
And the ratio should be 3.33. And yours was 4.6. So, again, that reinforces the hair test, which showed that Patrick had high unbound copper.
It's not
supposed to be bound. It's supposed to be in the protein, and so it shouldn't be. And yours has been expressing unbound for years, as you've acknowledged. And so that ratio, all I'm looking for are indications of some kind of metabolic stress. Well, that's a very important marker that says, okay, this is something to take note of. The copper to ceruloplasmin ratio is higher than ideal. Then, as I was working my way through the panel, I noted that you were one of the checks and balances of the system is the number for ceruloplasmin, this protein that's so important for copper,
uh-huh.
and the number for transferrin should be about the same number. And yours was almost spot on. That's a good sign of balance in the body. The backside of it, though, was that both of those numbers were low. They were lower than ideal. They should be around 30, and yours were in the low 20s. So that just tells me there's an underexpression. And when transferrin is low, I know that that means it's been low retinol, real vitamin A, in the diet, because vitamin A is what activates the genes to make transferrin. So that if transferrin is low, then the what's called the TIBC, those are the docking stations for iron. Your TIBC was on the low side, should be about 340, and yours I think was just a little over 300. And when we mix that with your strong iron, it's not high, but it's where it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be ideally 120, and I think you were at 124. But when you divide the serum iron by the lower than ideal TIBC, then your percent saturation was 39.1%. Well, the saturation will typically run from anywhere from 20% to it can go as high as 60 or 70%. Well, the closer it is to 20%, the lower the chance of ever getting cancer. And the closer it gets to 60%, the chance of getting cancer. 39% is right in the middle. And it's just, it's higher than I like to see it. I like to see it in the low 20s. So that was an indication of some excitement in your body, some iron excitement. And then we get to ferritin, and I believe your number was like 236. And I like to see it around 20. Now, technically, if we're taking a strict interpretation from a lab panel, doctors don't get at all exercised about ferritin in a guy unless it's over 300. But when I'm looking for signs of stress and I see it over 230, I know that that's an indication that your liver is having trouble metabolizing its work. And so what people don't realize is that the serum ferritin, that the ferritin protein that shows up in our blood doesn't have iron in it. The iron's already been discharged in our liver, and it's an empty protein, or as I call it, empty shotgun shell that's showing up in the blood. And so that is an indication that there's something going on in your liver that might connect to your tingly toes or the little numbness that you've experienced for a number of years.
Tingly toes. I like and it. So then, we could do tinglytoes.com. Right? We could do that. I'm sure that's available.
Absolutely. We could dominate the web.
With tinglytoes.com. I think we could. So Marley, let me just interrupt for a second. knock on wood, these tingly tones is the only issue I've got in my life, other than I'm crazy.
I know.
And I'm here.
Patrick,
yeah.
I know that.
I know, which is crazy.
I know
so are you saying that if I do some of these things, and we're going to talk about it, and it's pretty easy stuff. You don't have me. You're not recommending I take 20 different cell supplements a day, because I wouldn't do it, right? Yeah. So I'm glad you're not recommending that. Anyway, there's some really interesting things you're recommending that I'm already started doing, because I want to play with this. Well, are you saying, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, are you saying that if you can help me to get my little body, get this copper thing up where you think your research shows, and we'll go with that for now, because I just believe you, I trust you at this point. You know, I'm not, you know, I haven't seen all the research, because that my bodily functions and my energy level and everything would improve. See, that's exciting if you say yes. You say yes?
Absolutely.
Well, that's why I'd be willing to...
If you recall your conversation...
Yeah, go ahead.
Right, but if you recall your conversation with Dr. Ray Pete...
Yeah.
He was very quick to talk about the gut issue with something to do with histamines.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. And what's important to understand is that this protein, ceruloplasmin, this is a mind-blowing concept, but this one protein expresses 24 different ways. So it's like driving a car that can be a skateboard, a bike, a motorcycle, a car, a boat, and a plane, and then on and on.
Hmm.
So it's hard to imagine, like, is that even possible?
Right.
But one of the expressions of ceruloplasmin is an enzyme called histaminase.
Oh, the old histamine thing.
Exactly. Histaminase gobbles up histamines, which is expressing in your gut for whatever reason. But again, that gut expression right away tells us that there's a copper iron dynamic in your gut.
Ooh, the histamine.
It's affecting. Right.
And you know what, Marley? There'll be times when in my life, the last year, when I'll just be walking around the house or washing dishes or something, and I'll sneeze big time. Like, whew, mm-hmm. whew, you know, that's a histamine release, right?
Exactly.
For no reason.
It's a sign of when the body is trying to correct itself.
Yeah,
always seeking to get back to balance.
Right. Yeah.
And so the thing is, if we don't have enough bioavailable copper in our body, then iron begins to exert its influence in the body. Well, iron does not directly affect histamines, but it works through what are called histamine promoters. And they are all sensitive to iron.
Hmm.
And the most significant of them is called hydrogen peroxide. And why is that important? Because the other notable part of your blood test was the level of vitamin A and vitamin D.
Mm-hmm.
Your vitamin A was very low, and your vitamin D was too high. And so,
but I don't take vitamin D.
It was in the 50s, and it should be around 21. And so, have you historically taken vitamin D in the past?
No. I've dinked around with a little bit every now and then, but that's been, I just get out in the sun a lot.
Okay. Well, that's wonderful. That's the way to get vitamin D. I'm thrilled to hear that. What you need to do is be more assertive about introducing real vitamin A into your body, because there should be three times more vitamin A showing up in your blood work than there is vitamin D.
Okay, let me stop you there. When you say it should be three times, I hear you, but who says that? How do we know that?
The research is not as rigorous around this, and what I'm just basing it on my experience with 6,000 clients.
With people.
And when I see a higher retinol than vitamin D, especially as it starts to approach 2.5 to 3 times higher,
mm-hmm.
I see people who don't have symptoms.
Hmm.
And so the body was designed to have more retinol. We've been programmed to think that vitamin D does everything. It doesn't. And in fact, we live in a society that had vitamin A taken out of our diet back in 1955 when Eisenhower had his heart attack. And most people don't realize when they took cholesterol out of our diet, they were also taking retinol out of our diet. And that had a devastating effect. And one of the leading causes of atherosclerosis is a lack of retinol in the diet.
Which is vitamin A, right?
It enables iron to take over.
Hmm.
Again, it's just we were never aware of all these interconnections between these different nutrients.
Right.
And so the retinol is very, very important.
So that's why on the protocol list, you're recommending I do some cod liver oil. That's the best source. Now, of course, Ray Pete and Adam Bergstrom, they're just going screaming right now because these PUFAs are going to kill you.
They're going nuts.
And they're going nuts, and the yellow fat disease. And I get it, and I think the research is there, but maybe if you take it for a bit as a medicine?
What's important is that a lot of people who have violent reactions to things like cod liver oil, I would ask, what level of understanding of copper metabolism do they have?
Okay.
And do they know the role that copper plays in preventing arachidonic acid to form? What do they understand that bioavailable copper is very key to prostaglandin management? And so if they don't understand that, then they're missing information, which means they're missing truth. So again, our ancestors lived on high sources of retinol. They lived. I can assure you, your great-grandparents had their daily dose of cod liver oil, and they could run circles around us with how vital they were, even in their older years. And so we live in a very different world than our ancestors. And the real vitamin A, the retinol, is, I think, especially important. And I'll be happy to have a conversation with people who feel so strongly. I've done that with Matt Blackburn. I'll be happy to talk to Dr. Pete. But I think it's important that people have substantial sources of retinol in their diet because it's so important for making copper bioavailable so that iron can be functional. If you don't have bioavailable copper, you cannot have functional iron. They are absolutely interconnected in the metabolism of the body.
Well, I have ordered some of the Rosita, right? Which I think is one of the cleanest ones you can get, isn't it? I mean, it's one of the purest. Is it cod liver or just fish liver? Is it cod?
Cod liver oil.
Okay.
And it's a family-run business, and they're very persnickety about the process of producing it.
Okay. So I've ordered some. I think it's going to arrive today.
Okay.
And so I'll start taking it, and I'll just see how I feel. If I, I'm going to know if I want to keep taking it, whatever, and I'll just let go of any kind of thought form. I'm good at that. Ray Pete, Adam Bergstrom, other anti-cod liver oil people, I'll let it go. I'm into experimenting. I don't care. You know, I don't like to be dogmatic about anything. So,
right.
So that'll be fun. I'll do that.
And the other side of it, Patrick, is again, at our tender age, we're older guys.
We've Speak for yourself,
for
kid.
Iron our entire life. Yeah, I know. But we've been magnets for iron from the time we were in the cradle till today. And it's important for us to engage in regular blood loss. And so I would encourage you to think seriously about doing a quarterly blood donation. And that will begin to lower the iron footprint in your body. I can assure you, does play a role. Now, again, you're a different breed of cat. You've been working at health interventions for decades. And so, I honor and respect that. But there's a biological part of this that you've been on the planet for 70-some years. We just need to acknowledge that that has a metabolic price tag called a buildup of iron.
Mm-hmm.
And that's true for everybody.
Fair enough. And by the way, I'm going to my first blood draw is happening on Thursday.
Okay. Very good.
Thursday, 2:00. We're going to get, and so you can do every 3 months. You're recommending that I could try and just every 3 months get some blood out. So is the I've seen the bloodletting thing in the old movies about King Henry and all of that, right back in the 14th century, 13th. Right. Is that what they were doing? Did they know what they were doing? Do we know? The bloodletting?
That's a wonderful question. I wonder if they had more awareness of this wisdom than we give them credit for.
Mm.
And the whole concept of bloodletting fell out of favor with the evolution of the Royal College of Physicians and the Royal College of Surgeons in the late 1500s. And so I think the idea of preventing the blood loss may have been contributing to why doctors became more and more in demand.
Is that right?
But the other side of it is, that, you know, if a conventionally trained doctor were to look at your blood panel, they wouldn't even blink an eye at your 283 or 286 ferritin level, when in fact it should raise eyebrows to say, wait, that's a little too much. That's higher than it really should be, and it's the easiest thing to correct because of the blood donation. And once you lower the iron footprint, you lower the potential to make oxidative stress.
Interesting.
It's biologic. It's absolutely biologic.
And which would give my hydrogen intake even more things to work on, if you're correct.
Absolutely.
It would give it more oxidative ideas to work on if that's doing that. So have you been giving blood regularly for how long?
3 years.
3 years. Have you noticed, have you felt better, more energetic? Have you noticed that you're glad you're doing it?
Absolutely.
You're going to, have you?
Absolutely. I think that, again, what's hard for people to understand is I look like a reasonably normal person.
Wow. Yeah.
But, yeah, I know. We don't have enough time.
We don't want to go there.
But I come from a very sickly family.
Ah.
You know, my mom was an alcoholic, and she died of her third heart attack. My dad was manic depressive and died of lung cancer. My sister is a hot mess. And I've got aunts and uncles that all died of very debilitating conditions, cancers and heart disease.
Wow.
And I can go back 4 or 5 generations with all these different conditions. And my dad was 54 when he died. My mom was 67 when she died. And so
very young.
I'll be 68 in a few months. And so, you know, my sister is in a wheelchair, and she's lost her feet to diabetes.
My God.
And she's had breast cancer and a whole bunch of other things that we don't have time to go into.
Sure.
But the point is, I was stunned several years ago when I did my full Monty panel and found out my iron was elevated. Well, you know, my cholesterol was beginning to rise. My blood sugar was beginning to rise. I started having symptoms of aging, if you will. And over the course of the last 3 years, as I've engaged in this process of the root cause protocol, which incorporates regular blood donations, Patrick, I feel better now than I did when I was in my 50s.
Is that right?
I have more energy. Yeah, I bound out of bed in the morning because I research every day for 2 or 3 hours at Starbucks, and I'm like a kid in a candy shop.
That's great.
And I'm passionate about it, as you know, and I attribute it to good spiritual practices, but also a good diet and good discipline around this copper iron dynamic that I know will change lives as people incorporate it into their routine.
Mm-hmm. Let me put something up here. Well, which one could we show just to see what you do here? How about this guy? Does this do anything for us here, this one? Let me see. Hold on a second.
Yeah, that's the actual report from the lab, the Trace Elements lab.
My latest hair test, right?
And what we're seeing is the different expression of minerals in your hair. And so in the blue section, we see some very important minerals. In the pink section, we see what are called heavy metals. And then they're in the green section are what are called just other elements or additional elements, as they call them. And where I put the bulk of my attention, Patrick, is in the first 9 bars.
Mm-hmm.
And the first 4 bars are what are called the electrolytes.
And why don't you tell people what they are, because it's too small for them to see.
Yeah. Sure. The first 4 bars are calcium, magnesium, sodium, and potassium. And then we have a couple metals that are very important, copper and zinc, and phosphorus, and then 2 more metals, iron and manganese. And those 9 elements are very indicative of the overall balance of the body. And so that's where I put the bulk of my attention, is on those first nine bars. And I think people can clearly see that we go back to our days of Sesame Street, which bars don't look like the others, right? Well, we can see that the copper bar looks different.
You think?
And then we can look over in the pink section, we can see arsenic doesn't look the same.
Those are the two real so ones, those are the high ones now.
They stand out, particularly notable. And again, all we're looking for is signs of stress,
mm-hmm.
signs of metabolic imbalance in the body.